Online.
Welcome to the 1 o'clock No Sour Ha Ha Funny Hour. No Sour Happy Fun Time Ha Ha Power Hour. Welcome to the No Sour Fun Time Ha Ha Power Hour.
Ooh, she did it.
I got it.
I think she's got it. By George, she's got it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour, in which we sometimes talk about sports. And today is one of those days, because our friend J.R. Radcliffe, trending sports reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, is back. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I'm happy to be back. Sports.
Go sports. Sports.
Go sports.
So quickly, we're gonna start with the Brewers since you were at the game yesterday. But just to let our listeners know, if you would like to go to the Brewers game on Sunday at 1:10 against the Giants, call us now. 844-967-2789. Jane will get your information. First caller to claim those tickets for the Sunday game, 1:10 against the Giants. We're giving them away right now. That's 844-96-PARTY. And a quick reminder that you can always listen to the Brewers on our flagship station, Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, 1100 AM. And you can also listen to it to WRCE News from the Center in Richland Center, 107.7 and 1450 AM. So first caller to call 844-967-2789. We'll get those Brewers tickets. And JR, how was the game yesterday? We won.
It was really great. It was 4-0. Brewers with back-to-back shutouts against the Houston Astros, the defending World Series champions. So that is no small feat. They did it with not guys that you'd think would be throwing shutouts. Colin Ray, who's kind of a guy that's been back and forth with AAA, a guy that they're just trying to – they've got tons of injuries in their starting rotation. So they just need a couple guys who can sort of bridge the gap a little bit until some guys get healthy. So he's kind of done the best he can, and he had a really nice outing on Tuesday night. And then yesterday it was Adrian Hauser, who's now had two really good outings in a row. They need him. They need him to be good because of the thinness here of their starting pitching depth, and he's been really great the last two times out.
Well, that's encouraging. So that's at least, because it has been a little precarious as far as injuries and the such. But so as far as looking into this weekend, like we said, we're just giving Giants tickets away. How do we look up like going up against the San Francisco Giants?
Well, they should be okay, but they did just lose a series to San Francisco out in San Francisco earlier this month. So that's not great, but you know, the Giants are an okay team. They're not special. So the Brewers should have a little bit of an upper hand. Brewers have played very well at home lately. So you would think that would be in their favor. They are they're a little bit of a puzzle so far. Like they're in first place, but that's the division's quite bad. So fortunately, it's a fortunate situation to be in. The division is bad. The Brewers are okay. I'd say a little better than okay. They certainly got off to a really good start, which they're kind of still able to, the cushion that they built is still in play. It's certainly really encouraging. This series against Houston, really, really encouraging. After they'd lost, I want to say 6 of their last 7 series or something along those lines. And so winning this one against an excellent team is definitely a step in the right direction. And they got blown out in game one of that series. Yeah. They're 12-2. So to bounce back with two shutouts is really, really important. They're going to need every win they can get. This is not a team that's going to win 95 games. They're going to win like 86 or 85, and that might be enough to win the Central, might not. So every game is meaningful for this team.
Well, it is funny, you just say every game is meaningful, because I think about football where really every game is meaningful.
Because there's 17 of them.
16 or 17 of them. And just for me, in trying to keep track of baseball, it's for me, I will say, it is hard because there are just so many games, and it's hard to, I don't know, stay on top of it and feel like, as you say, like every game matters, or like when it's such a long season. And so like as a sports reporter, like how do you like, and someone who obviously covers both sports or all sports, like the weight of saying like they need to, like, every game matters for the Brewers in such a long season versus like every game matters for the Packers in such a short season.
That is a challenge for sure. I don't have a great explanation.
Okay.
Other than, you know, it's just such a completely different animal, I guess, you know, with baseball. It isn't as simple as saying we must play to win every game and, you know, only worry about that day, because you've got different starting pitchers on different days. So sometimes you are thinking about the next game. You go down 7-0 in a game. You're not going to do everything you can to win that game because you got to think about the next day, the next day, the next day. You're not throwing your best relievers in that game, things like that. So it is a difficult picture. And yet then after 162 games, it does come down to one or two contests that you end up saying, well, if they'd won that one game in, you know, early September or even late August, maybe it'd be a different story. That's just kind of you just kind of roll with it and kind of deal with it. Football, yes, tiny sample, and every play is magnified times 10, every win or loss magnified times 10. I would say that I think in football, the better team wins more often than not, certainly more so than in baseball, where the best team in the league can absolutely lose 2 of 3 to the worst team in the league. That happens all the time. And then that team that lost or gets swept goes on to win the World Series. Like that's just very common. Baseball's just got a lot more randomness to it. So it's less about the individual games ultimately and more about the, you know, building your team to win as many games as possible. But then, yes, it does come down to one or two in the end. Yes.
That's so interesting. All right. Well, speaking of football, explain to me, because I have not read a lot about it. I mostly have just seen headlines. What is going on with this Thursday night flex schedule, and why are people mad about it? And like, what is happening with this?
So yes, the NFL has instituted a policy that they call flex scheduling. It's actually something that they've had in some way, shape or form for a while. And I'll get to that in a minute. But what's new about it is that now games between weeks 12 and 17, the Thursday night game can get switched out for a Sunday night game. They can switch days. So let's say a Thursday night game in week 13 is between two terrible teams that have had really bad seasons, and the NFL and Amazon, who's airing the game, they don't want to show that game. They want to show this other game that's scheduled for Sunday night or Sunday afternoon, I should say. And it's two great teams. So they can flip flop them. They need a month's notice, but they're going to say, yeah, we're just going to put the Patriots against the Packers on Thursday night and let you Thursday teams that are bad, you're stuck on Sunday now. So the problem with that is that obviously football is a destination sort of sport. You've got people who are buying plane tickets months and months in advance to go see a game. And now all of a sudden the game that they were going to go see on Sunday is on a Thursday or vice versa. It is not as widespread as you might think. I mean, for one thing, it's this window, weeks 13 to 17, the most important weeks, to be sure. Yeah. But like I said, you need a month's notice, and they can only do it a maximum of 2 times during the year. Probably won't even do it twice. They may not do it at all, and they may just do this next year instead. That's kind of the way it's written, is if they don't use it this year, they can use it next year. But it will be a maximum of 2 times that this happens, which is still a problem for those fans and those games. You know, that it could be a really big deal, but it's all part of the money building thing, getting, you know, Amazon wanting better games, the NFL wanting better ratings, people complaining that Thursday night games kind of suck. You know, that's sort of what's all being built into this.
So it's something that already happens sometimes.
Yeah, okay. So it doesn't happen. The new part is involving Thursday. It has happened before with Sunday night games. Games that were going to happen earlier in the day can be moved to night, or even Monday night games. There's a window where you can move games that were going to be on Sunday to Monday night. It does not happen very often, but does happen. And I would say that, like, week 18 last year, week 18 this year too, no games are scheduled. You don't know. Teams could play on Saturday. They could play on Sunday based on the playoff picture going into the final week of the season to get the maximum drama. You know, fans last year, Packers Lions, didn't know. I know this because I had tickets to the game, did not know when that game was going to be played until earlier that week. So it was a night game. Not ideal. Didn't want that. But, you know, that was the game that had the most playoff implications. So it became a night game. It could have been a Saturday afternoon game. It could have been a morning Sunday game. Like, there was no way to know that days in advance.
That is, I guess I never, I think I'm used to the TBD. Like, and they could do that in basketball, right? It's like, oh, we know that we're going to play on this day. What time the game actually is going to be. You learn the week up. But actually, like, switching the entire day, especially a Sunday to a Thursday,
is very different, right?
Is very different. That's getting off work early. That is that is a lot of strain on your consumer of your product.
Well, and especially especially because it's about television ratings. It's about getting ratings. Yeah. I can see why people are ticked off about this.
It definitely doesn't serve the people who go to the games. And think about Packers fans. Most of them don't live in Green Bay that come to the games. They're coming from 50 miles away or more. So that's going to really affect, you know, if you've got people flying in, they're not flying in on Thursday for a Sunday night game. They're flying in on Friday or Saturday. You know, now with a month's notice, they got to get in there Wednesday, right? So it's not great for the people who attend the games, but the NFL cares a little bit more about the larger audience who's actually watching the game on TV.
I'm shocked such a thing, JR, that I'm just stunned.
Yeah, they don't even care that people are saying that. They're like, yeah, it's probably true, you know.
We want. We know what we're doing. We're an $18 billion industry. But the other big news that we're going to talk about after the break is the NFL draft coming to Wisconsin, coming to Green Bay. So the talk about a lot of people flying into Wisconsin for that. But you wrote an article this week talking about the six suggestions that you have for the 2025 NFL draft in Green Bay. So we will talk about that when we come back with J.R. Radcliffe, our guest. But for now, a reminder, we are giving away Brewers tickets, 844-967-2789. So we have four tickets. So you can either have all four or you can take two, but it is for the Brewers game against the San Francisco Giants at 1:10 on Sunday. And we may do okay, according to JR, right? We may hold our own.
Yeah.
Right? And it's supposed to be beautiful. It's a great day. It's a great Memorial Day thing to go see the Brewers game. And we're trying to let you go. They're club seats. Absolutely. 844-967-2789. Call in for those right now. Jane will take your information. And when we come back, J.R. Radcliffe will still be here to talk about what he thinks we should do once those 240,000 people show up in our state. How are we going to deal with all of it? So stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
If there's a net or a hoop or a hole in the ground, I hope they get it in. If they want to go to all the bases, I hope they do. If they're supposed to run past a line or whatever, I hope they do that too. Sports go sports! May they top their opponents numerically in the allotted time. Lest they disenfranchise their audience and see their revenues decline. May the partakers be sturdy and rapid in the spirited energies they exert. May they be victorious in perpetuity. Don't I look cute in this football shirt? Sports go sports! Athletics are number one. Participants are heroes. Go team, yeah! This is the most important thing that's ever occurred. If I care...
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
So you're headed...
Simple fact of plainly obvious to see. We're gonna kick your collective posterior. Of course you realize we're speaking figuratively. Our stats are thoroughly impressive. Our country really has...
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair, and we are talking sports with J.R. Radcliffe, trending sports reporter for Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And I had to imagine you had fun writing this article this week in response to the announcement that Green Bay will be hosting the NFL draft come 2025. And so you wrote the six things you think could make it a little the Green Bay touch. So what are those things?
Well, the Titletown District has this tubing hill right kind of adjacent to the stadium. I don't really know where the staging is going to be yet, so I'm assuming it's going to physically be in the stadium. So this is not going to work, but it's an idea I want to work, where the draft picks get sent down the tubing hill every time, once they hear their name called. I have a feeling it's going to It's going to ruffle some of those suits. Maybe they lose some of the bling flying off as they
true.
Descend. So that's probably a little bit of an occupational hazard they'd be unwilling to deal with. But I love the idea of sending them down that hill. If not that, maybe we can get them on bikes across Oneida Street, right by the stadium, much as you see during training camp when players ride kids' bikes back and forth between the Don Hudson Center and Lambeau Field. I love that idea. There's a lot of Packers celebrities, I think, that probably will get involved in some way, shape, or form. I'd love to see them integrate the fence, you know, the fence right out kind of on the...
Yeah.
Lombardi? That's on Lombardi, I'm pretty sure. And right across from the stadium. So I'd love to see them do something like that. None of my suggestions are likely to be taken seriously. But we're trying to have a little fun. It's a really fun fun occasion to look forward to, 2025. Unlike really anything Green Bay has seen before. You know, maybe since like FDR visited in the, you know, back in the 40s or 30s. I don't even know when that was. So
Even I heard someone reference like the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
So like how many people flew in for the Ryder Cup in 2021? Do you remember those numbers?
I don't know that off the top of my head, but the Ryder Cup, you know, out in the town of Erin did not have like the highway system that at least you have in Green Bay's is pretty yes. limited by major city comparisons. But, you know, this was county roads and stuff. I know that they were shuttling people in from miles and miles away because they didn't even want you driving near the golf course. So that was a major logistical hurdle. This will be more people than that, I think. Okay. But and it's going to be a strain on Green Bay. You know, the whole state's going to have to pitch in to make this happen. And I think that probably will. I don't think the NFL would have given it to Green Bay if they didn't see a pathway forward to make that happen. So so I'm not worried about that, but it's going to be different. It's going to be a really unique time. If you have a house and want to take a vacation, Airbnb, man, you're going to make some money.
Well, and it will be interesting to see, because Green Bay is obviously smaller than Milwaukee, but mm-hmm. Green Bay is not that far from Milwaukee. So obviously there will be overflow here, and we will have just gotten through a year of having the RNC here and testing kind of the limits of at least what Milwaukee can handle. Because I would assume it's going to be a similar amount of people, or is the RNC going to be even more people than 300,000?
Yeah, I'm not sure of that. That's a really good question. I should look into that. I know the RNC, at least the DNC certainly, was planning on using quite a bit of Chicago hotels yep. and places to stay and things like that. I am sure that will be the case for the RNC as well. Chicago not as local for Green Bay, so that might be a little tougher.
Yeah.
But there will be people staying in Milwaukee who go to the draft. Absolutely. There are only the two kind of major highways that go into Green Bay, so it's going to be a little tight on the roadways getting back and forth, like a Packers game probably for those 3 days. But that's all right. They'll figure it out.
Will the highway construction be done in time for the NFL draft?
The highway construction has no endpoint. There's never a time when the construction is done.
How many barrels will still be rolled out of those orange barrels? Because that seems like a motivator. The same way the motivator of getting the Wisconsin Center done by 2024 is happening in Milwaukee right now, getting 43 done by 2025 just became a lot more important.
Yep. Call me skeptical that we'll be through the woods on that one. But you never know.
And then finally, a sport that we don't talk about as much because it is not one of our major league sports, but the Admirals.
Yes.
The Milwaukee Admirals, our minor league hockey team, had another great playoff series win, right?
Yes. They are in the final four of the Calder Cup playoffs. They will open up their series tonight, a best of seven series in Coachella Valley. It's in Palm Springs, California.
Nice.
You know, palm trees everywhere, 96 degrees or something. Great
hockey weather.
Yep, always. I mean, the final four teams in the NHL, they're all, you know, southern cities as well. But they'll start a best of seven. They'll be back in town on Memorial Day for the first of potentially three games back in Milwaukee before the series shifts back there. And if they win this series, they'll be playing for the Calder Cup for the third time in franchise history. And it's a pretty exciting time. They've been a little bit of an underdog story, and they have just been on a roll. So this is a big one.
That is a big one. And it's fun because I feel like some of our teams that don't get as much publicity. So like the Admirals, the Milwaukee Wave. I've yet to be to a Milkmen game, but some of these smaller league teams are really fun to go watch. And like I went to my first Wave game this year and I was like, that was super fun. And so certainly it's good to see when they're also winning.
Yes.
And we can support yet another sports team.
I have not been to an Admirals game in years, and I remember seeing Pekka Rinne, who had a great career with the Nashville Predators, just retired a couple years ago. Great career as a goalie. I got to see him as a Milwaukee Admiral. It's pretty cool to see those guys, and I know that you can get tickets. Like, it is not hard. They have a lot of group sales during the regular season, and they don't get those in the playoffs because these games are scheduled on short notice, so you can absolutely walk up there on Memorial Day night just looking for something to do to cap off the day. I think I'm going to do it with my kid. So I would definitely recommend that experience.
And I think you're absolutely right. The smaller clubs, just some of those smaller groups, they have the most creative promotions on the entire planet. They're just brilliant.
Oh, yeah. The Admirals, they've done work, like great work for years and years. They have great concerts, great promotions. They are a great social media team. They put the work in. They're so good at that. So would love to see them get rewarded and keep this playoff run going.
I did a promo for CW where I was skating with Roscoe.
Nice.
And I have some B-roll and a blooper reel of me smacking my head in the ice hard. So that's my Admiral story. All right, J.R. Radcliffe, thank you as always for spending time with us. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Again, of course, we're speaking in the figurative sense. What's the use of even going through the motions when you know that you're gonna lose anyhow? So why don't you save us all some time and give
media
back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. How much are you willing to pay for a sick pet? 844-967-2789. What have you paid for a sick pet?
What did your pet eat?
Or what did your pet eat that they required some assistance? 844-96-PARTY. Because on Wednesday night, I don't even know what caused me to think this or ask this. Sitting on the couch with Mike and Cliff. Mike is the husband, Cliff is the dog.
And Cliffy's an older dog.
Cliffy's a rescue. So we rescued him when he was about 10 in 2020. So he's somewhere between 12 and 13 now. He's a Chihuahua mixed with something. But he's like, he sleeps a lot, but he's still, when we go for walks, he doesn't like meander. He's got some energy. He definitely keeps energy to bark at other dogs and bark at strangers who come in the house. Loves food. And really he had like kennel cough once since we've gotten him. He's had zero digestive issues. He's not a toy. He doesn't like toys. So he doesn't really get into much. And so he's been very easy. But he's old. And so, you know, we've had a friend who recently lost their dog and she's still really struggling with it. And it's just made me think, you know, like what are we willing to pay? Like, what are we willing to do? And we've never had that conversation. So sitting on the couch on Wednesday, and I just kind of said to Mike, I was like, should we have a conversation about what, like, to make sure we're on the same page as far as what we would spend? Because he's too old for puppy insurance.
Right.
And I think he kind of, like, didn't really, he's like, yeah, whatever. Like, he didn't even answer the question. Like, it didn't even become a conversation. So then yesterday morning, I wake up, I start prepping for the show. Cliff usually sleeps in with Mike anyways, unless he really has to go to the bathroom and comes and gets me. But I got him around 8 or so, and I take him outside, and he keeps trying to eat grass, which he never does. Like, I've seen other dogs do that, I've never seen Cliff. And literally every time he stops when I think he's going to sniff for something and find his spot to pee, he tries to eat a piece of grass. And I did not realize that this is something that dogs do when they have their stomach hurts.
Yes.
So I'm being a jerk and I'm like, stop eating grass. And I'm like pulling his collar and stuff. And so we go back inside. I say to Mike, he keeps trying to eat grass. Mike tells me, well, his stomach might hurt. So then I go to make his breakfast. When I tell you this dog loves food, he just whimpers until his food gets set down. We have to have him like stay out away from the kitchen. I put his food down, didn't touch it. And so we were like, well, this isn't good.
Yeah, that's not a good sign.
And I leave for work. Mike stays home and works from home. And once we get done with the show yesterday, I check in. He's like thrown up once, still hasn't eaten, is like very restless. So we end up going, well, it's like, well, there goes my afternoon to work on anything else. Let's go to urgent care. Cause like, he's too old to just like wait it out.
Well, and especially when they're that old, and for a dog that's really food motivated, that's really unusual. You know what I mean? That's unusual.
Yeah.
Because I was the one who told you I wouldn't wait. Because what you had a chance to get him to see the vet on Friday, and I just thought that seems too long.
Yeah.
To wait.
And so, we went to the urgent care, and we were there for like 3 hours, and they were great. This is Franklin Urgent Care and vet care. Everyone who worked there, like all the women that they were all excellent. They were so nice. They're so helpful. But we were there for like 3 hours because the doctor was in surgery, so we were waiting for her to get out of surgery. And so they ended up running tests, and his blood work seemed fine. She's like, for an old man, his blood work's really good.
Well,
so
that's
that was good.
Good.
So it doesn't seem like it would be like spiked white blood cells and cancer or anything like that. They ended up just giving him fluids and some pain meds and some anti-nausea, and they gave us a bunch of things to monitor. So we came home, let him sleep. He pooped out some kind of demon on our brand new carpet. So that
lovely.
Gross. And like, really? You couldn't do it on the hardwood floor? Like, God damn it. And, you know, and so we ended up spending like $600 yesterday, which a lot of people, that is not possible in a given
Absolutely.
Month, right? And so like, we were very fortunate where it certainly was like, well, that's money that evaporated, but also like we can. And it seems like he's doing better today.
Got his appetite back.
Got his appetite back.
That's good.
And so it's something that just kind of maybe was passing through him. But like for me, I still was like, all right, that's expensive, but it's worth the peace of mind knowing, instead of sitting here waiting and watching him for 2 days, watching him be uncomfortable, not knowing what it is, wondering if it's something more serious like kidney failure or something like that.
Sure.
And it just got me thinking of like, what is the criteria or the decisions that go into once you have a pet and they get sick? Of like, what, like, and you have you had that conversation? Like, if you're not a single pet owner, have you had that conversation with your partner as far as what your threshold is? Because it's expensive and you love them so much. But it's like, you know, for their comfort and everything. And so I don't know. I just 844-967-2789. Two questions. What have you spent on a pet? What are you willing to spend? Or if you just have any fun stories on what's the weirdest thing your dog ate.
Because because they do that.
Do you have stories?
Not about unusual things being consumed, but certainly stories about what we spent on Barkley. And I was shoveling. It was January. And I was shoveling in the front. And I hear him squeal from the backyard because we have a fenced-in yard. And you know they make different sounds when they're hurt or something. You know, it wasn't like an excited squeak or something like that. It was like he was hurt. So I run back there, and he's tossing the squirrel in the air. Because he caught.
So it was the squirrel making noise.
Well, no, the squirrel bit him. The squirrel bit him. And yeah. So that's why Barkley squealed. And then, of course, the squirrel did not make it. But the vet made it because that was $250. So he bit him on the neck.
For the squirrel bite.
For the squirrel bites. So he bit him on the neck and he bit him on one of his paws. But
so was it for shots?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was for shots because you don't know what they might be carrying,
yeah,
if they're a rabbit or something like that. But I know people who have spent between $8,000 to $10,000 for surgeries, for people have have taken their dogs through chemo treatments.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they're, I mean, even medication. If you have an older pet who has health problems, that all medications add up. But like you said, it's, I don't have kids. I had furry kids.
Yeah.
This was my thing. And as you said as well, I was able to do that. I was able to spend the money to do that. And a lot of people aren't able to do that. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. What's the most you've ever had to shell out for your sick pets? And what is the most unusual thing they've ever eaten? From the 608, oh, sick pet. I've been in Wisconsin way too long because I swear I thought Kristen was asking how much do you pay for a six pack?
That's really fun. Well, it depends on the beer.
Different conversation.
Yeah. Shockingly, I will, quick anecdote there. NA beer is basically as expensive as beer.
Is it really?
Yeah, and I've found some good ones. I've been very impressed with NA beer since this pregnancy started. Like Heineken Zero, Stella Zero. There's one that's made by the Guinness factory that's really good. That just like tastes like a light beer. And but they are like, they're the same price.
That does not seem fair somehow.
Well, it still takes, you know, the product and the materials to make it, the materials to package it, actually shipping it. So, but yeah, it's not a break on the cost. But no, we're talking about a sick pet.
Not
a six pack. It was very close though.
That's so funny. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. We love them. They're like family. I never had any discussions, though, even when Paul and I got married and I had had Pierce for almost 18 years. And I spent what I needed to spend.
You did?
Yeah.
You're just like, I'm doing this.
This is my Paul. He's my boy. This is what we're going to do.
And I had friends in Milwaukee who have a big, I think he's a doodle of some sort, but a big dog. And the dog ate an entire corn cob,
cob,
which cannot be digested. And they made the choice to get surgery, and he's like, that will be the last corn cob, because if he eats another one, we're not going back after it. We're not doing this again.
I am just stunned. So did they have to open up his stomach?
Yeah.
Oh, that poor puppy.
But that's the thing. It's like, I, you know, rescuing Cliff, I've said multiple times, I was like, I don't know if I'll ever do a puppy again, because just not having to go through the training, like he came and he's so well behaved. He was so easy. As cute as puppies are, just having that puppy energy is a lot if you don't have the time and attention to give them.
Without a doubt.
But also, and that's even yesterday when we were at the vet was monitoring him, in the conversation of like, well, you know, like once they get older, they get smart enough not to swallow random things. As far as I was like, he doesn't really play with toys. But like that puppy energy of just like, oh, let's test the boundaries of what I can fit down my throat. So it's like, I don't need to do that.
Well, they're very similar to toddlers in that way.
Yes.
Can I swallow this? Let's try it. What could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
And I don't know that I necessarily agree that they get smarter about what they should and should not swallow.
Really?
I don't know about that. If it smells good, I think there's a pretty good chance they'll give it a shot.
Well, now the unknown is, it's like, if it is something that he ate, trying to figure out what it was.
And where he got it from.
And where he got it from, because he's usually on a leash. Like, we don't have a yard to just let him out and, like, roam. He roamed a little bit while we were at my parents' house over the weekend, because my mom has a big yard. But that, I feel like if it was from Sunday, he would have gotten sicker earlier in the week.
I'm not quite sure about the digestive tract of a dog.
I know.
You know, and how quickly things work their way through that little system. But I'm relieved that he's feeling better.
He's feeling better. I've been checking in on him in between the breaks, and he's just down there. He's got some kind of anti-anxiety pain med that's just zonked him out. He looks super high. he looks like a stone dog for sure.
But he's at his own rave right now.
He'll be fine. But yeah, so I was just curious as far as, because like, of course, I can't help but think now that I'm also pregnant while all this is happening, is like how much worse this will be when it's a sick kid.
Oh.
Of like how worried you are, like especially before they can talk and they can't tell you what's wrong.
Yes.
And you're just convinced that they're going to die and all of the worst case scenarios are playing through your brain. And it's like, it's one thing when it's your dog. It's another thing. You're like, God, this is really going to suck when this kid inevitably gets sick, because they will. And they do. A lot get sick, and so
it's a little primer for you.
Little primer. It's a little test run. All right. Well, again, if you have any stories on the weirdest thing your pet ate, or what you'd be willing to spend, we'll still take your calls and your texts on the other side of the break. 844-96-PARTY, and then we'll wrap up the show. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
I'll just stare.
Well, I spent a lifetime looking for you. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. Jane, how much money would you have to be paid to be a contestant on The Golden Bachelor?
Oh.
I haven't even told you what it is yet.
Okay, go ahead.
So, after years of teasing it would happen, ABC has finally given the green light to its long-awaited senior citizen season of The Bachelor.
No.
This fall, one lucky older man will embark on a journey to find love, flipping the formula of The Bachelor franchise, which for more than two decades has starred 20-something and barely 30-something singles. And the series will now be called The Golden Bachelor. And the leading man has yet to be announced. And his cast of female suitors will be announced at a later date. But the ABC is describing it as a new, you know, it's a whole new kind of love story. One for the golden years.
This is terrifying.
Why is it so terrifying?
This is terrifying. If you've watched any of the 9,000 years of The Bachelor that we've had. Can you imagine what they're going to do to these older women and how they're going to have to try and entice this old guy? Ew.
But I'm also wondering the dynamics, because like everything I have experienced, and I'm not that old, but into getting into my 30s, is like with each year, the less F's I have to give, right? And like the likelihood of me trying to like change to impress a guy, or, you know, just in general, I feel like women who spend are more likely to be insecure and kind of putting male attention first, and a lot of kind of things that you identify like, oh yeah, I did that in my 20s and then I grew out of it. And so it's trying to interesting to like, what are the kind of women that they're going to like interview and try to recruit to be the suitors? Because I just feel like most of the women I know as they get older, like they're not into that kind of, like they're just like, absolutely not.
Yeah, but this is going to be a place for all the real housewives of wherever their grandmothers can go on a show. This will be
so they'll find them. They'll find the same attitude of the competitiveness, yes, and the cattiness,
yes,
and the attention seeking.
Yes,
that doesn't. There's still plenty of the women your age who are like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I worked with a young woman who told me And this is within the last 5 years. Her mother, who I believe was only in her 50s, said that if she wasn't pretty anymore, she didn't want to live.
No, yeah. Really?
Yeah, which I found shocking. If she wasn't pretty anymore, she didn't want to be alive. And I thought, how sad that all of your self-worth is completely tied up in what you see in the mirror.
And what people tell you you look like.
Yeah. Woof. So I do believe they will have plenty of contestants. And I think the other reason why I am so repulsed by this idea is because many years ago, The Bachelor came to Milwaukee. They would come to Milwaukee looking for contestants.
Okay.
And so I got to deal with some of the behind the scenes producers and set people. They cast very specifically.
Which season was this? What year was this?
This was probably, this is in the first 10 years, maybe first 6 years.
Was there a contestant who was from here?
There might have been a couple who made it.
What were they doing in Milwaukee? It was like the family.
Well, no,
it
was a casting event. It's like, if you want to be on The Bachelor, come and show up and we'll go through. And they said some very not nice things about some of these young women who came, who were genuinely excited about the opportunity to meet someone, who were genuinely interested in a relationship. That's not the place to do that.
No,
it's not.
Wait, so why were you? Why did you get to sit in on like
because
the casting
because we helped advertise it. The radio station I was working with at that time, we helped, come out and come to this thing, and the Bachelor people will be here, and you can, see if you can get on the show and everything. And so, again, there is nothing real about reality TV.
No,
nothing.
No.
And I'm going to worry in advance now for the women who are going to take part in this, because it's going to be the same kind of casting. You're going to have one who's the witch, the one who's super competitive. There's going to be some geriatric slut, unfortunately.
Don't slut shame, Jane.
Well, ew. Am I the only one who doesn't want to see this?
Well, I don't know, because I feel like to a certain, is there not an argument to be made as far as like representation and having different types of people, and there's all sorts of people that exist. And I guess if the only like 55 and older people they cast all look like they've had tons of work done and are not an actual representative of like what people look like at this age, and there isn't, if it doesn't feel like book club, I don't know if I want it.
Well, and I would be,
or 80 for Brady.
I would be very curious to see the male contestant being happy with someone who is actually his own age.
Oh, I wonder what the cutoff's going to be. Like, I wonder what the age range they're going to put. Like,
I just think an 80-year-old man is going to want to date a 55-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah. But, do you think, I'm so interested. I honestly think they'll get ratings for this.
Oh, I don't doubt that.
Just not yours.
Does it mean
you will not be tuning in?
Not a chance. I worry for these people. I worry for these women, I do. And the potential humiliation factor, but maybe that's just me.
But, the price of fame, Jane.
Yeah, well, enjoy it.
That Twitter follower will go up.
I know, and just look at all this, the track's record of success that The Bachelor has had with happily hooking up people for generations.
All right, well, on that note, we are ending today's show. Come back tomorrow for our Friday edition of As Goes Wisconsin. But as always, thank you for calling. Thank you for texting. Thank you for listening and being part of the show. Whenever you want to give us a suggestion or feedback, always shoot us an email at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. Follow us on social media. Listen to the podcast. So many different ways to engage and to listen. But we'll be back tomorrow to wrap up the week. Have a great day. I'm dreaming of.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.